You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to. Sci-Fi News.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Dig. I'm your host, Aaron Makem, and I've had a few notes here for the past few weeks that I haven't gotten around to, and I wanted to propose these to the audience and see what everybody else thought, because it's one of those things that I just think about every now and then. I was having a conversation with my daughter, who's taking a literature class, and it is focused on Neil Gaiman. Now, I believe that Neil Gaiman is immensely talented, and I know that a lot of people love his work. For me, it's just okay, but I don't think it's something that it's something that probably should appeal to me, but in a lot of ways, it doesn't. I haven't read a lot of his books. I haven't even ever read all of Sandman. I read the first trade of Sandman, and I just could not get into it. I just did not. It wasn't grabbing me. I don't like to be negative on any person's work because they put their heart and soul into it, and it's not fair for me to sit back and judge it. But in this case, Sandman just seemed a little pretentious to me. And for that reason, it just kind of took me out of it. Now, with that being said, I'm going to give it another shot, because any opportunity I get to have where I'm reading something that my daughter and I can have a conversation about that's in my wheelhouse, then, you know, I want to be able to do that. And, you know, comics is definitely that thing, so I'm going to go back and give that a shot again. But during our conversation, she mentioned to me that, you know, she's going over some of the books they're going to read, some of those books I have read, some of those books I haven't read. And one of those books I actually read because she was reading it as well. And so I thought maybe we could have a conversation about it, you know, and it's something I wanted to read anyway. That was American Gods, and I hadn't read it yet, so I read that. Anyway, she said that one of the books they were going to cover was going to be Marvel 1602. And so during the course of this conversation, I said, you know, what's interesting to me about that book, or what's interesting to me that I'd like to hear her point of view about, is the fact that it's taking these Marvel characters that I already know and putting them in a new setting and reintroducing them and giving them new origins and what have you. And for me, and a lot of people who read that book, that is kind of like the selling point. It's kind of like an Elseworlds tale, right? Where you know, you have these different stories where people have gone right when they should have gone left, or they normally would have gone left. You know, they made this choice over that choice. In this case, you know, where we have a whole new setting and everything else. But because we are reading that, us, when I say we, I mean like us fans of the comics are reading this story, and we are familiar with those characters, is that what makes the story interesting? If we knew nothing about these characters, would we still be enthralled with what's going on? We still think some of these stories are as good as they are. And it got me thinking about a lot of different characters who came to be, and how people, you know, view those characters that have been introduced the first time. Like, you know, what do they think of them? You know, Elseworlds is one of those things that DC did. And those of you that aren't comic readers, you know, during I want to say the late 80s, early 90s. I know definitely for sure like the 90s. A lot of the annuals that DC would release would be Elseworlds tales, where, you know, we would see these characters, but they are presented from a point of view where they are not the characters. They did not live the lives that we are familiar with. You know, you have like Red Sun Superman, where Superman lands in Russia rather than America. You have various incarnations of Batman. Gotham by Gaslight, you know, Batman who gets, you know, bit by a vampire and is a vampire part of the time, things like these. But since I am so involved with those characters, I can't really disassociate myself. No matter how much I think I can't not rely on the information I already have about these characters, because the Elseworlds stories were like my favorite stories. I love that stuff. I love seeing these characters who have a different setting and have made different choices in life or a different point in life, you know, whether it's a good character who is now evil or an evil character who is now good, or a character who has a completely different life than what I'm used to. But I keep falling back on, this is interesting because this is so different than what I'm used to, as opposed to if you just named that character something else, gave them a different name, called them something else, and didn't associate them with the original character at all, would it be as interesting? And for me, I don't think it would. That's what I like. Like, I like alternative history. And not you know, like alternative history, but not like in a sense of like alternative military history. Like, I know there's a lot of alternative military history books out there. I haven't read a lot. Some of the ones I read, I really like. Some I did not like at all. With the Elseworlds stories, I was always enthralled with what was going on. And that made me think of a character that I think that we all know. Those of you that watch Star Wars, the cartoon, Clone Wars, and Rebels. Now, I'm going to get into some minor spoiler territory here. So if you haven't, I don't think it's a big spoiler, but there's a minor spoiler, and I'm not sure, it ends at the season one of Rebels, the ending of that season, and season one? Season one of Rebels, pretty sure. Maybe season two of Rebels. I'm lying. Season two of Rebels. So we have Ahsoka, who we have seen being developed and coming to her own through the Clone Wars. And I've actually never seen the end of the Clone Wars. It's on my list of things to do, but I have never. I watched the next to the last season. Never finished watching the last season. Rebels started. I watched the first episode and I kind of tapped out because I'm like, yeah, this is not really for me. And then some time passed and some friends were saying, hey, you should check this out. You know, and I was like, yeah, you know, I didn't really feel it. So I started DVR. Now I have an entire, I probably have 20 episodes on my DVR. And every now and then I'll sit down and I'll watch one of them. And I enjoy it well enough. I don't enjoy it so much that I can sit down and watch multiple episodes at a time unless they are really enthralling and exciting and really, you know, grabbing me and pulling me in. And sometimes they're just kind of character development stories and, you know, it doesn't have that. So I'm trying to watch multiple episodes at a time doesn't usually work for me. But so I finally got to the ender of season two, where we have Ahsoka. She finally has a lightsaber battle with Darth Vader. And obviously, you know, she knows who Vader is because, you know, Anakin was the one who trained her and it was somebody that she was rather close with. You know, and you have a lightsaber battle. Okay. Well, if we did not know, if you had not watched The Clone Wars, which is the entire development of their relationship together, do you care as much? For me, it was a big event. It was one of the bigger events because I'm like, well, now she'll be able to get out some of her anger, get out some of her issues, you know, yell at him or whatever, maybe get some answers about what happened to him, why he's the way he is, you know, why these things happened, yada, yada, yada. You know, I think about all that, you know, the fact that, you know, that's one of the things that us as fans and people who have followed this character are excited for. But if you have never seen the Clone Wars, you didn't watch this relationship develop, if this is the first time you've ever, you know, you just watch Rebels and that's it, would you care? Does this battle have as much meaning without having that history? And so I guess my, you know, the question that I'm posing to the audience out there and, you know, anybody who, you know, might periodically download this, or you can ask your friends, or it makes for a good conversation. Do you think that these, all these books like this and stories and, you know, TV shows, do you think they have anywhere near as much weight if we don't have the history? Because in this case, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like they're not counting on the history to bring you in. But, you know, for me, it's all the things like this that happen. It's the history that really has me interested in the outcome and, you know, how the character developed. And I was trying to think if there had been anything that I had read recently, even not recently, you know, that I did not know the history of before I jumped right in. And, you know, they had these big moments, these big defining moments, but, you know, if it mattered to me because they weren't, you know, I didn't know all the history behind it. You know, I didn't know where we were heading. You know, if you're watching Rebels, it's just like a lightsaber battle between Ahsoka, somebody you may or may not know, and Darth Vader, whom everybody kind of knows is the big bad guy, right? I mean, that's what you're having. You're having this big fight between the two of them. But, you know, in this case, you know, of the fight that they had, it was more interesting to me because this is a lot of what her pent-up frustration is all about, the fact that that Anakin has become Vader and has become evil and has become the scourge of the galaxy, right? So this is what this is all coming around to. If somebody she knew did care for people, then suddenly just, you know, no longer does and wants to make people submit to his rule. Now, also, last week I had gone over the television shows that I was currently watching, and one of the messages I got from a friend of mine is, how in the heck do you watch all of that? Because I'm so far behind because I just don't have the time. And I am like, yeah, I don't really know. I don't. And on top of all that, there are shows that I did not list because they're not currently airing. And I think the only cheat in there was Incorporated because I haven't watched the last one of that. So basically there's usually one or two shows on. Some nights there are not any shows on, but like Tuesday there's like four shows on that I record. And sometimes they build up in a DVR and I finally get an opportunity to watch them. But for the most part, I do get them watched eventually. I'm not sure how I do it either. You know, I was like, when I was doing the math and figuring out how much I was like, oh my God, I watch way too much TV. And what's bad is that these shows, there's very few of these shows that you can watch. You can't just let run in the background. It's like they take so much of your attention so you can follow the characters and see what's happening, you know, but you figure 45 minutes per show because I can fast forward through commercials, but sometimes I fumble that. So I give them 45 minutes. You know, I guess the thing that works for me is that during the week I work afternoon and by the time I get home, everybody else is in bed. So that's, you know, it takes me a little while to unwind after work. So that's what I do. I you know, watch an episode, maybe one and a half, and that's, you know, so I'm able to catch up on everything. And we were in the course of conversation with my friend, I was saying, yeah, I said, you know, I used to like to read, but the problem with reading for me at night is when you're reading, it's way too easy to be like, okay, one more paragraph. Well, one more page. Well, you know, I'm almost at the end of this chapter. I might as well finish it. Well, that's what I would do. Well, what would happen is that I would start doing that, and then I would look at the clock, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and I'm like, okay, now I have to go to bed, and then I'd be tired the next day. With TV, I find it much easier to just shut it off, or, you know, put the timer on, and it shuts off. When it's off, I'm done, I'm not turning it back on. And then I can just go back and pick it up again tomorrow. With a book, I have no idea. I've been like that my whole life. When I'm reading and I get so involved with it, it is so hard for me to put it down. And it is so easy to justify one more paragraph, one more page, one more chapter. That's how it always goes, you know. One more paragraph, one more page, one more chapter. And what happens is you get that next paragraph and things start to get excited. You get to the end of the chapter and like there's like a little bit of a cliffhanger. You're like, well, man, I can just turn the page and know what happens. And that's what I do. And the next thing I know, I'm all sucked in. With comics, it's different. It's like I've been reading a lot of different stuff. And just about all my comics I purchased digitally at this point. And I'm lucky because there are a couple people who I finally have a local comic shop here. I never had that before. And I have that, and I try to go down and support them. Unfortunately, like a lot of comic shops, their hours are kind of wonky, and most of their hours are of operation are when I'm already at work and I can no longer get down there. Every, you know, sometimes on Saturday I can get down there during the day. But when I go and I almost always buy something because I try to support, because I've wanted a local comic shop my whole life and I have one now, and I try to buy something. Honestly, if I bought all my comics in paper, I would go down and talk to them about making a deal and being like, you know, you give me a percentage off and this is what I'm going to buy every month and, you know, be willing to spend that money. But I just do not. I know that in a lot of circles, I'm odd man out, but I have no desire to own paper comics anymore. I just don't. It's too much clutter. It's too much. It's just too much. And digitally, it's just so much easier. I click a button and there they are. You know, I mean, there's a lot of arguments for made for against digital because you never know when they could just say, okay, we're not going to allow you to load this anymore or whatever. Yeah, I can see that happening. My problem with digital comics is that the price point, it should not be the same as paper because there's nowhere near the cost involved. And people that argue that with me, I can go back and show you every issue in the 80s that I was reading when the price increased, and they said it was because of the cost of paper. That was always their excuse. The cost of paper is going up, so comics are going up. Well, it's digital. There is no paper at all. So that's been your argument all along. That's what you've relied on. That's what you've tried to sell people on. So now there's no paper. It should go back to 35 cents, right? I know that's not going to happen. But if you look around, you can find enough deals. And it got me to thinking about, you know, comics and current, reading current, and what's the, you know, is there a reason we have to be current in comics? And for me, there's not. If I start, if I purchase, you know, some current stuff and I start getting behind, I don't panic and say, oh man, I got to read all this stuff, you know, because it's a job. I don't want a job. I got a job. I'm kind of a mood reader. It's like I look around, I'll see on my iPad, see what's on there, and then I'll pick whatever I'm in the mood to read. Also, there's a lot of, trades and epic collections and things like that that are on sale that I'll pick up, and I'm excited to start reading them. A lot of times I'll be halfway through one and I'll take a break and read something else. You know, you can't force feed yourself the information that's in the comic. It should be a bit of enjoyment. But as some of these older books, get new collections, it is very easy to want to know. You start learning the backstory of the character, you start learning the history, and it is very easy to want to know what's going on with that character. So you start kind of getting sucked into what's happening, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I don't know that, with different shows, I think the last two big shows that are like water cooler shows are Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead. Those are the shows that people talk about, usually watch live and talk about. And I think that our entertainment, what we do for entertainment, media. I don't want to say entertainment because you could play a game for entertainment. You know, you could box for entertainment. I don't know. Media that we consume is no longer so much time sensitive. Most of the people that I know that watch The Walking Dead in a live sort of way or within a day is because they're worried about being spoiled on social media. And I just don't do that. If there's something coming up that I want to know about, that I know I'm going to see, I just kind of avoid social media. It's as simple as that. I mean, Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, and I watched one teaser trailer that they had. And after that, I didn't watch any trailers except for what I saw on TV because I just couldn't avoid them. They were on TV. I didn't seek out any spoilers. I didn't seek out to know anything. And people were always asking me, did you see this? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I haven't bothered. Because people have been asking me about the Stranger Things Season 2 trailer, if I've seen it. And I'm like, no, I didn't see the Super Bowl. My daughter had a biology test I was helping her study for, so I didn't even watch it. And I did not even care. At some point in time, I'll probably go and look at it. But like my thing is with trailers, like, I mean, I like trailers. They get me excited for the movie. But I don't usually seek them out unless it's like a DVD I'm interested in buying. For example, my friend Shane told me about a new zombie film, new to me. I had not even heard of this film. And he told me just the other day, he's like, hey man, I watched this movie. It was really good, man. I really liked it. And I was like, well, you know, you're giving it such high praise. I have to go investigate. So I went to investigate and I watched a little trailer for it to see if it was something out. Cause it's one of those things that, you know, I can buy the DVD for $13, the Blu-ray, or I can buy a digital copy for $14. Well, guess which one I'm going to do because, well, if I want to see the film, I'm not going to buy it. It's paid more for a digital copy. So I wanted to see the trailer first and decide how I was going to purchase it and decide if I was going to purchase it. And I'll watch a trailer like that. But like for new stuff, I'm pretty good at avoiding spoilers. But at the same point in time, I know some people are anti-spoiler anything. And I'm not really like that. I mean, if your movie hinges on a spoiler happening and the whole movie being ruined for you because of one moment, then you haven't written a good film. You have not written a good story. There's more to it than just that one moment. If that's what everything's focused around, then I'm probably not going to particularly love the movie anyway, so I don't really get that worked up about it. But it's the same thing with comics. You know, there are There's so much to enjoy in a comic. And I know that I talk about comics a lot in the show, but it is really the perfect medium for me. And it's just so many different stories to tell and such a deep and rich history of what goes on there. But with that being said, you know, you kind of have the same tropes. You kind of have the same circular things happen in people's lives. You have heroes die and then come back. You know, it's comics. That's what happens. With that being said, I listen to a lot of comic podcasts, and a lot of times they have spoilers because they're discussing the books, and that's what happens. And there are sometimes I'm like, well, should I put this off because I'm like 3 or 4 months behind? And then it gets then as time goes on, and I get further and further behind on a title. Some titles I'll stay up to date on. Some titles I get further behind on. And I'm just like, you know what? No, I don't care. I mean, I'm going to read this eventually, and it's really not that big of a deal to sit down and you know, even though I know something that's going to happen and read it, it's not that big of a deal to me. So, you know, when it comes to spoiler shows and spoilers and like what water cooler shows are left, I always think like it's The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. And I think the reason that most people move those up the list is because they want to avoid spoilers. And, you know, the conversations that take place around, I think we just have so much media right now that I think that that people can just jump on anything. I'm like, I go down through films and look at films that I was looking at the film list for Sci-Fi Dig, because some of these I'm going to do solo. I want to get back into the, you know, I want to get a co-host back, but it's always going to depend on my schedule. My schedule can get kind of hectic with things going on. And I don't want to, I always feel guilty when I try to tie somebody else into my schedule because I know everybody has things to do. Although I love the co-host thing, it's great. But, you know, I never know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's, you know, we get down to the wire like a day ahead of time and I realize, oh, this is not going to be able to happen. And somebody's, I've already made plans with somebody and I hate doing that. I mean, I hate being a canceler. I hate being late for things, you know? Anyway, I was going down the list and realizing there's a couple of these films I haven't seen. And there's a couple of these films that I really want to go back and rewatch. I mean, I've probably seen Free Enterprise 4 times. That movie cracks me up. However, I don't own a copy of it. Every time that I watched it, I rented it from Netflix. So I was like, well, I'm going to go buy that, and then maybe I'll do that one myself. Well, then I started looking and started realizing it's out of print, and it's expensive. I think I saw a copy going for like $85. There's a lot of films like that I'm looking, and it's out of print, and it doesn't say out of print. Some of them will just say, you know, not available when I'm looking around. Some of them will just have a ridiculous price attached to them. I'm not paying a bunch of money for a film, especially one I've already seen. I will wait until it comes back out, or I will see if I can borrow it from somebody. I know enough people that have enough DVDs, even through the mail. Even people that I met through the show will be willing to send me a DVD, and I can send it back to them when I'm done with it. But it is... there's just so much media. You look at our history at this point. Like there are things there are things that they're bringing out on DVD today, or digital download today that are, you know, 25, 35, 40 years old that have never seen a home video release or have only been on VHS. So it's kind of interesting to me that, you know, when it comes to spoilers and like water cooler type shows that people are always talking about, it seems the circles that I, you know, the social circles that I'm in, whether it be with people that I meet, you know, that I see, or people online, that, you know, it's just kind of like some, people are always watching the oddest things, you know. Some of it's newer stuff, some of it's older stuff. But I try to promote when I'm watching something older to kind of remind people. You know, I try to do the, well, there used to be Get Glue, which was fantastic, and then it went under, and they shut the doors on that. And then, which is a real shame, because that was a great app for following people and getting information on different things, and it kind of sucks. I mean, I know we live in this social media, this whole social media kind of world where, you know, I'm listening to an album or I'm watching a movie, and then, you know, it's like, why would you want to tell people that? Well, for me, when I, you know, in that particular app, like if I put down an album or something I was listening to, a lot of times I was able to have some good discussions with people about it. Same thing with film, especially older films. And sometimes those discussions would lead to, well, you know, the person that directed this also directed this film, which is completely out of the genre that I'm in. But the film I liked it well enough that I'd be interesting to, you know, I'd be interested in investigating that. And that's kind of how you find out about these other things. So I kind of miss that app a lot. There's a couple things that have come out that they're trying to, trying to take the place of that, but it doesn't work quite as well as that. And of course, there's always the old Facebook standby where you can go and tell people you're watching stuff on there. TV Showtime is an app, kind of new, where you can put the TV shows in there. What I like about it is apparently you can have it notify you when a new show's coming up, so that if you forgot to record it or if it's a brand new show, and you go in and you tag the show, it'll let you know when it's coming up. So that's kind of interesting. But, you know, as far as, you know, regular film and TV go, there's just so many people that are cord cutters that are watching things, you know, a year behind or 8 months behind. And it's not the same as it was, you know, and I'm not exactly sure if that's a good or bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good that you kind of broaden your horizons of what's out there. And I look forward to a time when, you know, when you come down in summertime and like there's hardly anything new on. That's kind of the screen time thing that I like, because I'm usually doing a lot of things outside, usually a lot less TV watching in the summer. But since I have no shows calling my name and saying, hey, you know, this is new, come watch this, I can just pick up something and start watching it, you know, and I kind of enjoy that as well. Anyway, these are just random thoughts that I had knocking around in my head. If you would like to leave feedback for the show, scifidig@gmail.com is where you can reach me. You can follow me on Instagram, where my name is SciFiDog because I typed the letter wrong. You can follow the Facebook group. We have a Google group. Go to the webpage. Links are there. Links are always in the show notes so that you can do that as well. And I look forward to any feedback or thoughts that you have. You can email them. You can message them. You can record an audio file if you like. Even if you don't want me to play the audio file and you're just driving and don't have time to type, record your audio file and send it to me, and I will try to make notations and respond to that. I think that's about all I have in the talking about sci-fi. Today was the day that we're having this unseasonably warm weather, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. And I decided that I've run enough 5Ks, and I run a 10K every day because I do 7.5 to 8 miles, that I decided today was the day that I was going to go and run a half marathon. There's one coming up, and I want to enter it. I want to do it, and it's one that more to my liking because it's not just flat. It's up and down hills, which I know some people hate, but that's how my running route goes. And that's actually easier on your legs because you're working different sets of muscles. Unfortunately, for me to try half marathon on my normal route, I have to run it twice, and that would be really boring. So I'm lucky enough that we have a trail in town. When I say trail, it's paved, that goes for miles and miles and miles. Unfortunately, it's all flat, which seems like a good thing, right? Except that when you're just stomping on those muscles over and over and over again, it really makes your legs hurt. And also, it's kind of boring. So today, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to I took my wife to work this morning bright and early. It wasn't bright. It was still dark out. And I just was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to do this thing. And so I was like, I took my water with me. I took all anything I would need. Even brought some colder weather gear just in case. Put it all in a bag and threw it in the car. I was like, I have no excuses now. Everything's here with me. And so I did that, and I went down and I parked and I did it. I did my half marathon. I went beyond a half marathon. Did pretty good too. I 8:30 mile, and it would have been a much better time. Except there was, how to put this delicately, there was some distress because there'd be really cool if there was a restroom somewhere down there, but there's not. So I did that, and then, of course, I got back, and then I walked like another mile because my legs hurt so freaking bad. And I'm like, yeah, you know, hey, I did this. I don't know why I would ever do this again. Then I got in a car and came home, and I sat in the car for 10 minutes thinking, how am I going to get out of this car because my legs are killing me? But I got out, and I'm moving around. It's okay. And now I'm thinking, can't wait to do that again because I don't know what's wrong with me. But a few more times, and I'll feel as though I'm officially trained enough that I can do an official half marathon. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm gonna work on doing that. I need to get a nice shirt that says scifidig.com, you know, and wear that, promote the show a little bit. I did it, and hey, can check that off my bucket list of why I want to know if I could do it, and apparently I can do it. I have no idea if that's like a good time for a half marathon or not. I don't know. I'm honestly afraid to go look at people's times because they'd be like, yeah, they did this in a 6-minute mile. I don't know how anybody would do that because geez Louise, that's a lot of running. I mean, it's 2 hours of running, let alone a full marathon. Wouldn't mind trying that, but there'd be a lot of walking involved with that because I don't think that I could run for 26 miles. I barely made the 14 miles, so I'm not sure if I could do the other or not. But that's kind of what's going on in my neck of the woods right now in my world outside of the sci-fi genre. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. I will talk to everybody next time. Over and out.